today, you will leave here with an epiphany of like, never heard that before, or never saw that before. It's an aha moment. We're going to look at John, the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses. And because you're all retired people, or you're close to retirement, you can sit as I read. It says, John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, show us, reveal to us that epiphany that we need to hear, we need to see this morning, in our own lives, in our own hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A new start. I don't know if any of you believe in, what do they call those things? Resolutions. You know, I said I quit good resolutions because I just break them anyway. I don't pay attention to them as time goes on. But one of the things you see on TV, if you noticed, if you watch TV, is about all of these exercise places and nutrition things that come up that are trying to tell us that you need to go there, or you need to get this or get that, because it's the beginning of a new year. And of course, everybody has good intentions and starts out great, but by the end of January, you have no idea what you began, why you began it, why you paid for what you did, and you just think of something else, or you forget about it until next year. John uses the images in his gospel of light and life to describe God's activity in the world. And one of the typical things about John when he writes is that he always has a contrast of bringing out light and darkness. That's just a characteristic of John. Now, he's one of Jesus' disciples. He's the youngest out of the 12. And he wrote three epistles, or letters. He wrote John 1, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And then also the book of Revelation, the very last one. So he was in exile on the island of Patmos. And that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. And so you know, an interesting thing that John is a fisherman, You know, they weren't very educated guys. They just knew how to kind of catch fish and mend nets and do those kinds of things. But we find him writing a gospel that is far different and yet the same in so many ways than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The theme verse for John we find in chapter 20, verse 31. This is the theme of why he writes this book. It's, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the theme of the book of the Gospel of John. It's the reason why he wrote it. Is that whoever he would speak with, that he would go and talk to, he wanted them to know and to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And it wasn't just enough to know who he was, it is that he then needed to be received by faith in your heart and in your life. Now, if we compare 1 John 1 with the first verse of Genesis, notice how similar they sound. Let me find Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the very first verse in the Bible. We go to the Gospel of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And there's no way that you can miss it, is that this Word or this Logos is Jesus. It's talking about Jesus as being the Word. Jesus was not created like in Bethlehem. It's like all of a sudden, you know, there was no Jesus until Bethlehem. He's born as a baby. No. Jesus is God. Was with God. Was there in the beginning. The beginning of time. And he was born human as well as divine. Divine meaning that he is God. Sometimes people have a difficult time with that. But when you understand that he had to be both, it makes perfect sense. As a human being, he got hungry like we get hungry. He gets tired like some of you are tired right now. We shed tears. All of our experience as human beings, Jesus himself felt a lot of that. He can relate to us. But he never sinned. You know, we sin. We get angry, and so we kick the cat. Or we kick the dog. And our anger causes us to sin. Jesus has a righteous and a holy anger, as we saw that when he cleared out the temple of the money changers. He said, "This is my Father's house. It's a place of prayer. It's not a place where you just kind of sell things." So, John's gospel is unique from all the other gospel writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I just want to point out some of the things that we find in John that you don't find in the other gospel books. You know, the most recited verse you find in John, John 3:16. You sometimes used to see it a lot at ball games. They'd hold up John 3:16. Nowadays, the camera puts it on and they'll move it away somewhere else. But it's probably the verse that you were taught in Sunday school. Or at Vacation Bible School. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Again, John wants people to believe in Christ because there's consequences if you don't. You don't believe in him, says he will perish. But those who do believe will not perish, but they will have eternal life. I like that. That's good news. We find in the book of John about Nicodemus. Again, it's in the third chapter of John. Nicodemus is a high-ranking Pharisee on the Sanhedrin, which means he's kind of like, our Supreme Court would be like the Sanhedrin in the Jewish culture. And it is who Nicodemus goes to Jesus at night because he's curious and he's got some questions that he wants to ask him. And it is to Nicodemus that Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." A lot of people don't like to hear those words either. Be born again. Billy Graham says it could be born from above. And so here you have Nicodemus, who very much a religious leader, very religious man, and he is not born again. He has not received to believe in Christ Jesus as his Savior at this point in time. We find also in John, you got the woman at the well. Remember the Samaritan woman? It is there where Jesus speaks to her when the disciples come back and they go like, "What are you doing talking to her? A Samaritan woman." And she said that she has five husbands or six husbands. And Jesus says, "No, you don't. You're living with somebody now." But we find that Jesus, even though he knows the dirt and the garbage in people's lives like he does ours, he still forgives. He still loves you. He still accepts you where you are. And he says, I still want to be your Savior. But all I can do is come and knock on your heart's door, but you have to invite me in. How many times has the Lord knocked on your heart over the years? How many times have you heard it or you felt it, and yet you kind of pushed it to the side and ignored it? John would say, if you're really listening and you hear it, invite him in. It's really no different than if you go over to somebody else's home that you know here in this church. I mean, I don't think anybody would just walk in on somebody, but some of you might. I don't know. But you go there, you either ring the doorbell or you knock on the door, and you'd wait. And if somebody doesn't come to the door and open it, well, then you just stay at nobody's home, or you don't want to be bothered, and we'd leave. But we'd wait after we knocked, because we know that until that door is opened, do we know if we will be welcomed or not to come inside. Jesus knocks, waiting for us to open the door to welcome him in to our hearts and our lives. It's really that simple. Jesus claims many different things about himself that John points out in his gospel. Have you heard of the I Am? You know, you go way back to Moses, back in the Old Testament, and it is Moses with the burning bush, and God is calling Moses to go back to Egypt to deliver his people from the Egyptians. And Moses is kind of like, "Yeah, right. I don't know if I want to go back and do that, because if I do go back and the Israelites say, well, what authority brings you back to take us out of Egypt?" And the Lord told him, "Tell them, I am who I am has sent you. I am who I am." That is the name of God. I am. Means Yahweh. And it is in the book of John where John points out, there's kind of like seven different times Jesus says, "I am." He goes, in 6:35 of John, he says, "I am the bread of life." You know, you will hunger no more if you have me in your life. He's able to meet the deepest needs that we have in our lives. Bread is something that's so common. And Jesus is a common Savior, but yet a very outstanding, forgiving, gracious God. We find in John 8:12 where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. No one should walk in darkness when you're trusting and believing in me. I am the light of the world." You know, got the candles lit every Sunday. Now some could say, well, reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. It can also mean that the Holy Spirit has come and is here. John 10:7. "I am the gate," referring to as a shepherd. The shepherd would sit in front of the pen, the gate, where he'd take his sheep in there. He would then sit in front, right in that little alleyway there, and that's where he would stay. And if the sheep were going to get out, they'd have to run them over. I remember growing up, we had sheep on our farm. And you know, sheep are kind of crazy creatures. We'd kind of move them from one pen to another, but if the first sheep would jump, which you go like, there's no reason to jump, there's no water there, there was nothing to jump over, but if the first one jumped, guess what the rest of them did? They jumped. So you just had to watch them go by. And you just go like, you don't have to jump, just go through. But Jesus says, "I am the gate." We need to go through him in order to go to heaven. In 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." You know, a good shepherd is a good shepherd. There are bad shepherds. But he's a good shepherd. He has nothing in mind but to treat us and to do what is good for us. If we understand it or not, he's the good shepherd. 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, you will not die." It's a wonderful promise. And in 14:6 of John, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Without him, we can do nothing. Which takes us to the last one, is John 15:5, where he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." The branches need to be connected to the vine. The vine gets all of its nutrients from the roots, but it comes from the roots to the vine to the branches, and then the fruit comes out on the outer part of the branches. I remember talking to my dad on a few instances when I could, without getting into a fight over the Bible or what Jesus says. And I would tell him about John 3:16. I said, "Dad, put your name in there and it makes a lot more sense. For God so loved," put your name in there, "that he gave his one and only son," to put your name in there. "That if your name you put in there, if you believe, you will not perish. But put your name in there, you will have eternal life." So that's what the verse means. And on a number of occasions, he would say, "I have my own way to believe, and I believe I'm going to go to heaven just like anybody else." I said, "Well, tell me, how are you going to get there? I don't have to tell you anything." He's a good German. "But I'll get there my own way. You'll see." I said, "Well, it's not what the Bible says." So Jesus is the only way. I didn't say it. God's word says it. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only one that can give life and forgive. So when it comes to the book of John, it is a good book for unbelievers and believers. So if somebody comes up to you and says, "Well, you know, I really should be reading the Bible, but I just don't know where to start." Well, tell them there's some options, but one good place to start would be read the book of John. Because it's very personal. Very personal. And you go, "What else can I read?" They go, "Well, read one proverb a day." There's like 31 proverbs, or is it 30? I'm only a pastor, I don't know everything here. Let me just check here. Proverbs. You read one proverb a day, and you just do it slowly, if you can. Yep, there's 31 proverbs, so if there's some months that don't have 31 days, well then just read one twice. And underline as you go. Underline. There's nothing wrong in underlining in your Bible or highlighting it. It just means that, hey, something stood out to you as you read that passage and it became important to you. And I would say that's where God spoke to you. God speaks to you through his word. But just start there. You get done with that, we'll talk about it. But John knew how to catch fish because he was a fisherman. And then we find that Jesus taught the fishermen how to catch men, women, boys and girls. And that's what we need to be taught too, how to reach and catch people to follow Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verses 12 through 13 tells us that we need a new birth. We need a new birth. We do need to be born again, because without that we just remain sinners. We need a new heart. Because with a new heart, you have new desires. You have new thoughts. Sometimes you start treating people differently than you did otherwise. People you used to not like, all of a sudden, you begin to like them. I think I told you this once before, that as a young person with not much brains, I didn't like older people. I didn't like the elderly. I didn't like going to see my grandparents. And then over the years, when they come to know Christ, I go like, hey, they're great people. They have a lot of knowledge. You've been around the block a few times. You've seen some things in life that I have not seen that I can learn from you and grow in my own life because of you. And so, how God changes a person's mind and heart, all because of believing in Jesus Christ. Imagine being a pastor of a church that didn't like anybody 40 and above. It's impossible. Because one of the characteristics, traits of a good shepherd is that you love the sheep. You love the sheep. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you for the epiphany, the new start that he gives to us. Because of what he did for us.